God is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you are happy and you know, you say amen.
Amen.
If you are sad and you know, you say I'm sorry. Okay, good. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Can we just let's start today. We'll read a few verses of the Bible and then we'll begin our prayer. The book of Isaiah chapter 14. Today we want to continue what we began last time. I feel like we have not gotten it enough. Well, there's something I keep on saying. That what we are doing here is not, let me say, it's more like we are coming to learn how to do what we are supposed to do continually. Do you get my point? If you are waiting that, okay, don't worry, on Tuesday I'll get to Bible study and do my incantation. Should I give you bad news? You're in trouble. Do you hear what I'm saying? Did you hear what I said? You don't like the idea of being in trouble if you are waiting to get to Tuesday to do it? Well, you don't have to like the idea. That's a matter of fact. Is that okay? You know, the Bible makes it clear. Jesus was teaching. He said that men ought always to do what? And not to wait till next week. You know, that was what he said. Now, I'm adding my own words to it. Men ought always to pray, he said, and not to get tired. All right? And you know, there's something those days about what we're taught in the Word of Faith. They say, when you pray once, you just leave it there. I have realized now that it doesn't always work like that. In fact, most times, it does not work like that. Is that okay? What works is that you start to do something, and then you do it continually. Do you get my point? Elijah was a man of like passion. That's what James said. And then he prayed. What happened to his prayer? All right? He prayed how many times? How many times? How many times? Nobody knows. All right? He prayed 16,522 times. All right? The Lord is good. If you believe that, say amen. You see, they believed it. Do you get my point? Yeah, you won't read your Bible until you come on Saturday. You know that people don't read Bible until Saturday. As even God, at least, we force you to read it when you show up on Saturday. All right? In the Bible, make clear that he prayed how many times? Okay, so you didn't know it before. So if you don't know it before, it's not now you are going to learn it. Of course, 7 times, all right? The Lord is good. The point I'm just making there is that it wasn't just once he said his prayer, and that was the end of it. All right? He prayed, and in that point, it's going, James chapter 5, he made it clear that the man, all right, that when James was talking about it, that it was a man of faith. He was talking about the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails much in his walking. What I'm saying is that it wasn't just once that he prayed it. It was a consistent, persistent prayer. Do you follow my point? And that's something about Christianity. It said men ought always to pray and not to faint. I told that before. I used to wonder what Jesus used to pray about all night. These days I'm getting more understanding. We thought before that prayer was all about asking God for something. Let me go and ask him for one thing. All right? So if you ask for a shoe, you believe God for the shoe. You don't have to repeat it. That's very nice. Except that that's not all prayer is about, all right? There's more to prayer than just making requests. Let me just say this. There's something one brother said once, and very interesting. You know when? Okay, so this was when I was a house officer. So we came to campus or something. So we gathered in the house officer's quarters. So we're just asking people how they start in the morning. So different ones amongst us were saying different things. Some would say that they rise up very early and pray and all of that. Then you notice that quite a lot of people used to get up maybe around 4:30 in the morning, or some people say they wake up early in the morning and they go back to sleep. And he made a statement. He said, that's very good, though. That his brethren come out to put good things into the air before the Muslims start polluting the air. You know when the Muslims start? When did they start? 5. 5 in the morning. So the guy said, this is very nice. I know, we laughed about it then, but now I understand that it's not actually, it's a joke, all right? But it's not purely a joke. Now, if you notice something, and I'll tell you this as a matter of fact, just listen to me. In the last, if you were here on Saturday, I talked about spiritualism and spirituality, all right? When we use the word spirituality, we're dealing with the Spirit of God, all right? Of course, and the Word of God. You contact that realm with the Word of God. Is that okay? Now, spiritualism is real. Please don't get what I'm saying wrong, all right? I'm not saying that it's wrong. Spiritualism is real. That's what I'm trying to explain. Now, if you, no matter what you're using, even if it's natural things, all right? I was joking with somebody the other day. It was in a magazine for us, and there was a picture I wanted to put, and the picture contained the picture. It was a drawing, actually, a cartoon drawing, and the man had a cigarette in his mouth, and it would look like a drunk man. So, like, it's a Christian magazine, she don't put it up. I said, I better leave this in there. After all, this is what I'm about to say. I said, after all, cigarette smoking is not a sin. It's just a bad habit. I know in Nigeria it's considered as a sin, you know, but it's not a moral, it's not a sin like lying and cheating and adultery and stuff like that. It's not. It's a bad habit. It's as much a sin as overspeeding. If you overspeed, you're a sinner. You know that? You may kill somebody and you may kill yourself. In Nigeria, more people die from overspeeding. 10 times more die from overspeeding than die from complications of cigarette smoking. So in all this stupid self-righteousness, I don't smoke, I don't drink. Leave for information, I don't smoke, I don't drink. Don't think I'm justifying my bad habits. If I want to smoke, I'll smoke Igbo. So that I'll be able to punch somebody. That's a joke. I don't smoke. I'm just saying, let's talk about real things. Is that okay? Uh-huh. So I was just telling the person, listen, cigarette smoking is a bad habit. What did I call it? It is a better sin than the sin of overspeeding. The man who smokes will get to a better corner of heaven than the man who overspeeds, if God is in it. No, that's not a joke. Don't say Pastor Banga was joking. I was not, in Jesus' name, I'm not joking. A cigarette smoker is not offending God. A man who's running, overspeeding where there are people crossing, he's offending God. He may kill somebody or kill himself. Have you ever seen the Bible that shall not smoke? Thy body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's the only thing we have against it. That also. So when you're inside the car and misdriving, you're about to kill your temple of the Holy Spirit and kill the neighbor's temple of the Holy Spirit and keep the general temple of the Holy Spirit that are crossing the road. I'm very happy now. So remember, I say this guy, I don't think when I say this pastor is crazy. Don't say. What am I saying? If you want to smoke, it's your problem. You are the one that's following fella, not me. I'm just going to bring us an issue. But spiritualism. What you do, you can decide to be overspeeding or smoking, all right? Or drinking, all right? Or eating bad food. In all of them, you are working against the will of God. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can eat in line with the will of God, or with your food, you are going against the will of God. If you're always eating, you can never be spiritual. It's not possible. No. That's not a joke. I wrote in that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. But what we know, they stop the work. He's a carnal man. You see biscuit, you chop. You see chocolate, you chop. You see ice cream, you chop. You see panayam, you chop. You just, and you're not a child. You get spiritual problem. Overeating is a sign of spiritual problem. My wife was telling me that about one woman. I said, this woman is very large, you know what I mean? Really large. He said, but you know, she doesn't stop eating. So you just see, you get to her table in her office. She's always having chocolate cake, sandwiches, biscuits, different things stuck under the table. I'm not discussing that one today. You should know she's not a happy person. She's using food to kill all the sadness of life. I didn't say to be fast is a problem. That is so. But to be constantly overeating, even if you remain slim, you're a smoker. You get my point? It's like this time you're inhaling carbohydrates, fat and oil. The Lord is good? I said the Lord is good. Uh-huh. So this is what I'm making. All right? That, you see, whether it's physical, that's why I went into that. All right? Or it's in the mind. Whatever it is, we can use it against the will of God. Do you get my point? Or use it in favor of the will of God. So you find out that spirituality is different from spiritualism. And people can use spiritualism, and they often do, against the will of God. And most of the time, that's what people do. Spiritualism in itself is not the problem. It is the fact that people now use it as to oppose the will of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? So let me get back to where I went into that. So a lot of people practice spiritualism. It's very, very common. It's just a phenomenon of life. Now, I started talking about Islam, all right? So you discover that when a Muslim starts in the morning, when Muslims generally everywhere start in the morning, and they're shouting early in the morning, and they shout, they also shout at other times of the day, Allah is the greatest, Allah is the greatest. Listen to me. It's not just a religious exercise. It's spiritualism. It affects the atmosphere. Do you get my point? If I say this to make you laugh, it affects whether it will rain or it will not rain. It affects the climate. It affects who is in power and who is not in power. It affects businesses. What I'm telling you is a matter of fact. When a man practices spiritualism as part of the will of God, it's now spirituality. Do you follow my logic there? So if I rise up and I shout, Jesus is Lord, do you get my point? Now, as a matter of fact, I'm telling the atmosphere who to respond to. And if I don't say it, the atmosphere will respond to the fact that Allah is greatest. What I'm telling you, no problem with human beings, they don't get sense. They think it's all about food and drink. Why do you go to Europe, all right? They grew up in church. Having grown up in church, they threw away church and thought that the material things that Christianity produced can be sustained without Christianity. You know what the Muslims did? They came in and started practicing their spiritualism. They are buying up all the mosques. They are trying to turn Europe into an Islamic continent. And it's working. I don't know whether you're following what I'm saying. Because what happens is that when God blesses people, they will say, my own wisdom, my own strength, my own ability to plan has gotten me this wealth. That you find that in Jeremiah chapter 8. And God now warns, he said, thou shalt what? Remember, it is the Lord thy God that gives thee the power to get. That is, you see it outwardly. If material things didn't make it appear as if they were the ones that gave you those things, you wouldn't be confused. But usually what happens is that when God is working in your life, all right, it manifests as common sense, it manifests as business acumen, it manifests as strength to do work, and manifests as ability to negotiate. That's why people don't know how to acknowledge God, because they know that when we woke up that morning, we didn't hear any voice from the spirit realm. We just thought that this is what we should do, and they did it, and it worked. They don't realize that God is in it. I'm not going to teach you this today. Let me just stop it there. I say all of this by trying to bring out an issue. What we start here, we continue it all the time. I'm not saying this to tell you to go and start competing with the Muslim to pray 5 times a day. I didn't say that. In fact, 5 times a day is too few. Alright? How can a Christian be praying only 5 times a day? David used to pray maybe how many times? I think 3 times he'll give thanks. I forgot the number of times he makes. A total like 7 to 8 times in a day. How can a Christian be praying 7 to 8 times in a day? That's too few now. How can a Christian say, I pray 25 times a day? That's few. That's only 1 time an hour. They must pray without stopping. Let's stop using biblical language, pray without ceasing. To cease means to stop. They must pray without what? Stopping. The Lord gave me a wisdom long ago. If something comes to my mind and I'm driving, that's when I like when I'm alone. Alright? I will start praying about it immediately. I saw a few scriptures that I will use it today about praying for the country. It's not only when we hear, alright, that okay, when we plan. No. I believe that those things are supposed to start. We start those things, alright? What am I trying to say? I believe we're supposed to do those things as the beginning of a continual thing to do. Do you follow what I'm saying? So I saw on TV today, somebody was talking about, I didn't even know that they tried to arrest Ibori, and his arm and his militia fought this policeman that came. You didn't know about that? I was surprised. And then somebody, one man was analyzing.
Was I explaining why it's like that?
I'm not going to go into details, but he was showing in effect, we were going to explain that oppressors go into power, make oppressors powerful, and that it will just link one oppressor to the other. At the end of the day, people now think they are above the law. And listen, if you like, get angry from now till tomorrow. Do you get my point? Until you do what we are going to show you again here today, God won't do anything. Christians must open their mouths and pray against oppression. Unfortunately, most Christians don't pray. They say prayers. You know, there's a word of this. They don't really make the note that this is like, okay, let's just pray. And then we will just say things to show our bodies that we are praying. We're not really attacking any issue. We are not trying to change anything. We're not expecting anything. We're not really channeling the power of God. Do you understand the point I'm making? Alright? But when I saw something like that, or when I heard it, it was actually this morning I found that I was watching the news in the morning, alright? News analysis. So one man came out to analyze it, talking about the PDP and all of that. And I just looked at it and said, this thing will never end until Christians say something. They asked me about, they asked the man, no, somebody else was talking, we were talking after, about a state in this federation. They said they are ruled by Ogboni people. That particular state, there's no money. Because half of the money has been sworn in an agreement to one family to take it. Therefore, they can't pay teachers. They can't pay doctors. That they pay their house officers, that's the young doctors, the lowest in the country. Yet they are owing them like 5 months' salary. I said, no wonder they are the number one kidnappers in the country. Because, you see, when you have heads up there that are in engaging in things like this, it just trickles down. And that becomes the most insecure state in the nation. If you are from that state, you know my friend, what you will do, I'll show you a few psalms. A few words of God. You will read it not as if just reciting, let me say my prayers. No. You will face the direction of your state, or you go home and read it out in your father's sitting room. And you keep reading as long as every time you remember, if you can memorize it, play it on put it on the table. Alright? Keep saying that thing. And you don't stop. I like the way somebody says knock and the door shall be open. Say what it says is knock and keep on knocking. That is, don't stop whacking the door until the door cracks open. Do you get my point? It's not as if ta-ta-ta. Nobody answer you, aka come on. No, that this door, you like them or yes, you must open. So you knock. No open. They're fine. And they come. Give me a bigger knock. Knock. The door shall be open if you walk it strong enough. That's what Jesus was saying. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That's what prayer is for believers. Isaiah chapter 14. I want to just bring out something here because I've spent a lot of time explaining some things. I'm going to try and be brief now, not read everything. If you read from verse 3, it will be in that day when the Lord gives you rest from your pain and turmoil and harsh service in which you have been enslaved, that you will take up this taunt against the kingdom of Babylon and say, how the oppressor has ceased and how fury has ceased. And I'm not going to read everything. Just look up for a second. I just want to introduce what I'm going to read. All right? This is the story about the king of Babylon that God said the sky was going to happen to him. But we have used this in Christianity as referring to the devil, alright? To Satan. You've heard about that before, alright? Uh-huh. This is where the word Lucifer comes from. He said, how are thou fallen? That's verse 12. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. That's where the King James will tell you, O Lucifer, son of the morning. If you read that in the King James Bible, if you have a King James, say amen there. O Lucifer, son of the morning. So that when we talk about that Lucifer matter, I've read the scriptures again and again, and in my persuasion, it was talking about somebody, a human being, a man, not the devil exactly. You see, he said, he was talking about being taken to the tomb. You get my point? And he talked about thou, he said, you said you are like this, but thou art a man. That's what he said. He said it clearly, that no, you are a man. You are not what you claim to be. Alright, so, but the point I want to bring out from here is this. You will see that it actually, it parallels very well what the devil is about. So I just wanted to emphasize that. Yes, Christians generally say that this was talking about the devil. Well, it's possible, but the literal interpretation is that it was talking about the king of Babylon. And you see there, he used the word, thou art a man. He says that you'll be like a trampled corpse. You talk about, this is a man, in verse 16, who made the earth tremble. The word there is man. Okay? Now, you get what I'm saying? Now, so, but having explained that, I'm not saying that you will see that this also properly defines the devil. It also properly defines the activity of Satan on the earth. And based upon that, I want to bring out something that will fit very well the activity of Satan. And I want all of us to notice it. Please read from verse 12 He said, how you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn, you have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. He said, I will ascend to heaven, I will raise my throne above the stars of God, I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north, I will ascend above the height of the clouds. The next line, everybody read the next line. If you have the King James, I will be like the Most High. My Bible says, I will make myself like the Most High. Then Father Dinah began to describe what was going to happen or what happened to him. Now, please, let me stop there, all right? And emphasize that issue of I will be like the Most High. I just noticed this scripture, and it to me was so instructive to note. That is, I will be like the Most High. I am not going to be the Most High, that's not possible, but I will be like the Most High. And this is what I want to tell you is the activity of the devil in our lives, and this is how we resist, one of the ways by which you resist it. If you know, do you know why you put a burglar proof on your window and your door and all of that? Because you know what the devil, what the thief is trying to do. What is he trying to do? He wants to break in. So even before he comes in, you try to stop his ability to break in. You are getting the point I'm making. Now, please follow what I'm going to explain.
Now, so
if you know what the devil is trying to do in life, is that okay? I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. A lot of people are resisting the devil. You misplace your key. You know, I don't know, once I was in the market with somebody and they sprinkled water accidentally. And they say, how can you reject water? I mean, it's just water. So maybe they are trying to do something. They are not trying to do anything. And if they are trying to do anything, it will not work anyway. What's wrong with you? Don't bother rejecting water that they throw on the road. Do you follow my point? Person do like this for you for road. He said, I reject it. Reject what? He's just showing you the number of fingers he has. He's pointing it in your direction. You are rejecting the outstretching of his hand. What's your problem? Now, what I'm going to bring out is this. Stop fighting what the devil is not trying to do to you. This is what the devil is trying to do in your life. He's saying, and I'm telling you this evening, so that you know ahead of time, I will be like the Most High. That's where I'm going on this talk. Situations in your life, they are saying what? I will be like the Most High. One of the things that talks like that all the time is money. Money says, I will be like the Most High. And in the lives of many people, it has become like the Most High. And Satan has impregnated that money, turned the name to Mammon, a god, and has become like the Most High. Are you getting my point? There are those that in their lives, they want to succeed. So, certificates. You say, okay, if I can just get this certificate, alright, I will succeed. So certificate has spoken to them and said what? I will be like the Most High. Some say that if I don't get a visa to go to Europe or go to America, I can never succeed. Visa has spoken to them and has declared in their hearing, and it has said what? I will be like the Most High. Are you getting my point? People, all they are looking for is connection, 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 connection. Human beings have said to them, and they have believed it, that what? I will be like the Most High. Therefore, the job of the believer is to resist the devil. Are you getting my point? So that he might flee from you. And how do you resist him? You will tell him, you will not be the Most High in my life, but God will be the Most High in my life. That's what I'm going to explain. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Are you sleeping? The Lord is good? Thank you very much. Now, so this point we are making. This is how we resist the devil. We insist. That's what we began last time. That we declare God as God. When he said praise is good, it looks good on you, it's comely on the saints. What that tells you is that praise is not good for God. Praise is good for who? For you. Say praise is good for me. Because what you are doing is that you are telling yourself who is the Most High in your life. And I said something at the beginning, talking about spiritualism and spirituality. Alright? It's a spiritual phenomenon. You get my point? When you use your mouth and declare who is Lord in your life. I'm telling you what I'm saying, as a matter of fact. Because what happens now, everything tries to talk and say, I am the Most High. Are you getting my point? Money is the Most High. Possessions, the Most High. Connection, the Most High. Certificates, the Most High. And how do you know what you're calling the Most High? The thing you are looking to for promotion. Do you follow what I'm saying? I was preaching then in the Anglican youth conference that they had, and I explained something very, very clearly to them, all right? That if a young man, a little boy, comes from the village All right? As part of the passengers in Kekenapep. Are you following my point? And then he stops. And he sees one nice, very fine ride with a boy his age. Maybe both of them are like 10 years old. All right? That boy jumps out from inside the car. His father has brought him to school. And he's wearing nice shoes, nice uniform, carrying a backpack, feeling very, very, looking very nice and feeling very cool. And speaking very nice English. Okay, daddy, see you later, daddy. I love you, daddy. I love you more. You know, this kind of Ajibota kind of talk. You know, that kind of thing. And the boy looks and says, ah, that boy is very lucky. He's going to go far in life. What he has said, he's 10 years old, doesn't know what he's saying. But what he has said, actually, all right, is that God is not the promoter of men. It is connection and who they know that's the promoter of men. Be careful what you say. One day, a girl was getting married. Marrying a very powerful politician, all right, in the state. And I was talking to another girl. One of these ladies came to my office and we're talking. And she was telling that, that girl is very lucky. So I couldn't get the point. I don't know what I get on saying. She said she's very lucky. So I was like, what is the luck in it now? That she's very lucky. Oh, God, she's very lucky. And I remember I was confounded as to what was the luck in that you are marrying a big politician, a rich man. Then I realized that, no, we're not looking at life on the same frequency. She sees this as the ultimate in marriage in life. And if it was me, that maybe they split me into to turn my other half to female. And they said, yeah, go and do that marriage. I would have been worried for me. I don't know where you get my point. Yes, I would have been. Because so how you respond to situations in life, you know the fact, is what is telling you what you are calling the Most High. If somebody tells me, I say, hey, I have won visa lottery, I'm going to America, I would just tell him, oh, is that what you want to do? Congrats. I don't consider it luck. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm trying to explain. Our words are very powerful. When the Muslim shouts, Allah is the greatest, don't think it's just an exercise in religion. If you don't say something bigger, oxygen, carbon dioxide, nitrogen in the air, they start thinking that Allah is the greatest. Let's come to your life. If you don't tell your body, do you get my point? That's why David would say it like this. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. What did they worry you? Get up and bless the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? That he's speaking to himself. Hey, my body, bless the Lord. My soul, bless the Lord. And all, see, it's a commandment. I'm speaking to my kidneys. Bless the Lord. Because he said, all that was within me. Listen, no? I started last week. And it's an assignment for all of us. And it's not for 10 times a day. It's continually. You know a man that God is not blessing yet? Like, God has started blessing. When he still feels the blessing, is a miracle. Did I hear an amen? If you didn't understand, say amen. Be honest. If you didn't understand, say amen.
Amen.
If the blessing of God is still feeling to you like a miracle, you've started being initiated into blessing. And just now you begin. I'm not saying it is wrong. You've just begun. Most of God's blessings are not miraculous. Most of his blessings come out normally. That's why I want to beg you. If somebody will shock on there and dash you 50 million naira, it's good, but it's not likely to happen. I don't care who preached the message. There are people preaching and say that, look, God gave me this word 25 years ago, this amount of money for this amount of blessing. Hear it. It's a lie. I don't care who says it. Hear it. Is what? The fact that I went to Mexico, I preached this message, and one woman, there are 1 million people that heard it in Mexico, only one person, God bless. Have you ever heard that rain fell and they waited only one land, and you said it was the rain? When God's rain falls, now everybody they feel out. It was a special thing for Gideon to be able to separate. What I'm saying is that if it's that it works, everybody who heard it in Mexico and practiced should have gotten results. The only story you are telling us is a sign that it's not the way it works. What am I going to explain to you? Hear it very well. What happens is that you will not just get somebody to dash 50 million naira. The path of the just normally works like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter. Are you getting my point? That's why a lot of people who have been blessed by God forget God. Are you getting my point? It's not often miraculous. After a while, what started out as a miracle becomes so normal, you forget. Manna in the wilderness. After he had fallen for a few weeks, they forgot that food doesn't rain from heaven normally. I don't know what I say. You get what I'm saying? Yes, because if you remember it all the time, you won't be able to speak against that God. What I'm saying is that when you are really entered into blessing, it becomes normal. I don't know whether you hear what I said. So a lot of blessings you have right now, that's why you don't notice they are blessings. It has become normal. So most of the time we are shouting miracle, miracle, it's because we have been deprived. I don't know whether you get my point. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying this. This is my reason. What God is doing by the power of His Word in the realm of the Spirit in your life is to change for you that which is normal. Christians are always looking for breakthrough. That is, if you don't have an emergency, sudden, dramatic, crash through, breakthrough. They don't think God has done anything. Unfortunately, God is not, in most times, most people's lives, not trying to do something like that. No. My friend went to the church, wanted to go and preach. It was supposed to be a breakthrough convention. So he said to them, how many of you have dolls in your homes? They all put up their hands. How many of you have doors that have locks? He said, so is that how many people have locks that have keys? They all put up their hands. After that, he now said, all right, good. How many of you break your doors to enter your houses? No, we don't, because we have keys. He said, therefore, if you want the door to be broken, it's because you have lost the key. That the problem with Christians, that they have lost the keys of life, they are always looking for breakthrough. That there are divine principles that open every door. Do you follow my point? There are things they are supposed to operate by. They've thrown away the principles. So they're not looking for somebody to break this door down. And so they're looking for a special anointing. I saw one poster down there. I must say it's a bad thing. I saw a poster down there. Say, arresting the robbers of destiny. I said, okay now. Christians love such things. The Lord is good. What I'm telling you here is this. As this is one of the keys of life, is that you constantly magnify God. You constantly speak, because everything is trying to tell you, I am the Most High in your life. There are men who think that without them, other people can't be anything. Sometimes people need to disappoint so that you know that they are not the Most High. And listen, the problem we have a lot of times is that we don't exercise ourselves at home. That's what I mean, on our own. We want to face challenges in life. Before you face challenges, you must have told yourself, who is the Most High? Are you getting my point? Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. If you have not told yourself who's the Most High, life will not respond to you as if your God is the Most High. That's why Christians pray. That's why Christians utter their words. That's why we, in the fraternity of Christ, we constantly offer up our incantations, even though when we don't have problems. I like to give this example all the time. You know soldiers, have you ever seen a soldier? I used to make a joke because I served in Nigeria Army, my youth service. I used to make a joke about it then. I couldn't join the army because I was tired of going. I couldn't be getting into spasm every time I see a superior officer. It was a joke, you know what I mean? Okay, you're not seeing soldiers. Look, listen, even this is my kingdom government and we are all brethren. Eh? Assuming that I am a captain, alright? And Chinedum is a lieutenant. Now, this is kingdom world ministry. And I'm standing here and he enters. He can't just enter. It's part of the training, Monsa. And then he continues. Now, this we no church with it. It's wired into his being. I'm bringing out an issue with all of these things. Do you know why it's like that? I'll tell you. You train the men to obey others, even when there are no others to obey. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Yes, even when there's no, because the ultimate order that's necessary, because this is how it goes in the army, all right, in warfare, the commander will point and say, we are taking that hill, advance, and he's speaking advance when somebody is shelling with machine gun. And if he doesn't say, pull back, you can't come. If you turn back, it's mutiny. He's there with you. He has a gun, the rest of you have a gun. He's commander of a company of maybe of 100 men. And you are good. Yeah, they come with smaller than 100 men. And they are good. And they said, oh yeah, advance. And you can, listen, it's not as if you are imagining it. You can see the bullet cutting trees in front of you. And when it says advance, you can't turn back. That's why soldier will look civilian and say bloody civilian. That's because they, that you guys don't know what you are talking about. What am I saying? They practice those reflexes. It becomes a part of their being, so that by the time you get under fire, you get my logic? It's already natural with you to obey others. With Christians, that's how our life is also. Most of us are waiting till when there's problem to remind life of who's most high. Wake up in the morning, look at the, get a picture of your office where they are paying you a lot of money, and say, this office is not most high. I'm telling you, my boss is not most high. This company is not most high. God is most high. You sing that song of God being most high. You sing the rhythms. That's why music is good. Songs, believe they are good. Because it's difficult to say every time, the most excellent thing is Jesus. The most excellent one is Jesus. Therefore, I shall shout hallelujah. It's difficult, but it can be working. The most excellent thing is Jesus. Shout hallelujah, amen. Oh, hallelujah. Shout hallelujah, amen. Amen, hallelujah. And you're washing a cow. Amen, hallelujah, amen. This is the day that the Lord... You know, it's difficult to just wake up. This is the day that the Lord has made. And you're walking, and you're walking. You know, it goes so tired. But when he puts a song in your mouth, are you getting my point? Yes, that's what songs do. That's what songs do. They help us say the same thing again and again. What am I saying? We start obeying, we start declaring those words even when there's no trouble. Don't remember that God is the healer only when you're sick. Get the good song on the fact that he's the healer. And there's nothing wrong with you. The reason is because if you have been declaring that this company is not most high, God is the most high, is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. His grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. He will give his angels charge. This is, you know, the only song I'm singing. The song I'm singing as I'm talking right now, alright? He will give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. You keep on saying that thing. Then one day, they threaten to lay people off. The first thing that will come out of your mouth is Jehovah Jireh. My provider, his, and they are, this is everybody's like, they're sacking half of the staff. So the first that comes to your mind is that, it's normal. These small gods, they go away, they come, another god will come tomorrow, this tiny little god. But the Almighty God is unshakable. He abides forever. You know, for one reason, you're just not flustered. It doesn't mean they won't lay you off. That's a lot of what you within these are manipulations to ensure they don't get laid off. But it means one thing, you can never go down. That one is means. That one is means. Most of the time, they will find it hard to lay you off. You just look and say, God, no, I don't want to be laid off. I want to resign by myself. If God's okay, that's where you like it. If you just feel like it's time to go, that's why if you feel it's time to go, go. If you can't go when you feel it's time to go, it's because you think that thing is God. So if I go now, I'll die. ABCZ, the company, is the sustainer of my life. If I go now, I will die. One of the reasons why we respond like that, we are not singing the greatness of God all the time. Do you get what I'm saying? So that's why last time I began it, I want to continue it again. We must magnify the Lord. What did I say? We must magnify the Lord. We magnify him at all times. That's what prayer is. Prayer is not only what I need. When I need it, I go and pray about it. No. That's why I said Christians can't pray 5 times a day. It's too small. We can't pray 20 times a day. It's actually too small. No, we can't. We pray without ceasing. We pray without stopping. I hope you've understood what I've said. I spent most of the day talking, but it's all right. We have to keep on getting this understanding. All right, the Lord is good?
All the time.
I said the Lord is good?
All the time.
What have I said in summary? The devil wants to be like the most high. Life wants to be like the Most High. That situations in life want to be like the Most High. But this is how we resist the devil. That he might flee from us. We will declare who is the Most High. And as we continually declare it, our bodies get used to it. The air around us. Do you get my point? The very atmosphere, if we declare it all the time concerning our country. After a while, Nigeria will get used to the idea that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the Most High. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, we say continually.